Okay, welcome to July 2nd on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. 1937, Amelia Earhart disappears. The Lockheed plane that she was flying was last reported near Howland Island in the Pacific Ocean. Earhart and her navigator, Frederick Noonan, were attempting to fly around the world, and part of that journey included a fuel stop at the Howland Island near New Guinea. The last time the U.S. Coast Guard ship Itasca had communicated with her, she was reported being lost and low on fuel, and then she vanished. Amelia Mary Earhart was the first female aviator to fly solo across the Atlantic. She received the U.S. Distinguished Flying Cross for this record. According to Wikipedia, she set many other records, wrote best-selling books about her flying experiences, and was instrumental in the formation of the 99s, which was an organization for female pilots. Earhart joined the faculty of the Purdue University Aviation Department in 1935 as a visiting faculty member to counsel women on their careers and help inspire others with her love for aviation. She was also a member of the National Women's Party and an early supporter of the Equal Rights Amendment. Very cool. But getting back to the disappearance, an exhaustive search of the surrounding area by the Coast Guard and the U.S. Navy found no physical evidence of the flyers or their planes. Now, there's the traditional belief that her plane simply crashed and sunk. Then, there's the Gardner Island hypothesis, which claims she headed south towards the Phoenix Island, now called the Republic of Kiribati, about 350 miles southeast of Howland Island. Then, there are myths and legends, like the one that says that she faked her death and spied on Japanese for FDR, another that she was captured by Japanese, another that she was part of the Tokyo Rose Theory, in which female English-speaking Japanese broadcasters spread propaganda for the purposes of lowering American morale, another that she wound up in New Guinea, and yet another one that suggested that she faked her death and changed her identity to a New York banker named Irene Bolam. And believe me, the real Irene was not too pleased about that. And going back to 1776, the Second Continental Congress takes a vote. A piece of paper called the Declaration of Independence, drafted by some dude named Thomas Jefferson between June 11th and June 28th, 1776, established a very powerful statement by the Second Continental Congress against the British Crown. The vote for adopting this declaration was unanimous, with only New York abstaining. According to archives.gov, this declaration, in exalted and unforgettable phrases, Jefferson expressed the convictions in the minds and hearts of the American people. The political philosophy of the declaration was not new. Its ideals of individual liberty had already been expressed by John Locke and the Continental philosophers. What Jefferson did was to summarize this philosophy in self-evident truths and set forth a list of grievances against the king in order to justify before the world that the breaking of ties between the colonies and the mother country. The delegates voted in favor of this on July 2nd, 76, and John Adams wrote that July 2nd would be celebrated as the most memorial era in the history of America. Close! The declaration was adopted, of course, 2 days later on the 4th of July. And that's it for July 2nd on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Thanks for listening!